Okay.
Three, four.
Thank you. I hereby call to order the Subcommittee Property and Development at 6:06 PM. Please all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Garofalo, can we please have the roll call?
Jessica Berrios Perez.
Here.
Robert Hyder.
Here.
Amy L. Pettinici.
Here.
The record should reflect there is a quorum present.
Thank you. And number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of agenda. I don't believe we have any changes. No? Okay. On to number five. Public portion, is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak?
Madam Chair, Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street. I just wanted to say briefly that the members of the Sterling Opera House Commission are here. And my question to you is, we're going to be on line item number 7 on the agenda. If there is questions or Corporation Counsel or yourself or anyone on the committee has questions, do you want to do a dialogue then, or how what is your pleasure?
Our pleasure is to do the dialogue at that time.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your time.
Welcome. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Third and final time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Okay, that closes the public portion of the agenda. Item number 6, approved minutes of February 22nd, 2024 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica. Is there a second? I second.
I have to abstain.
Yes, you are not here. Thank you. Okay. Are there any discussions? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Rob will abstain. Thank you. Next item. Sterling Opera House Commission Ordinance, discussion and possible recommendation to full board aldermen, alderwomen regarding the Sterling Opera House Commission Ordinance. Attorney Petrillo, would you like to speak?
Sure, I would. So I appreciate the fact that I've been asked to review this draft ordinance. I know all the folks who are interested in the Opera House who came here, come here and with the best of intentions and are motivated from their heart to do the right thing for the city of Derby. That said, there are big problems with the draft ordinance. So I wrote a little memo and I'll tell you what they are. I'll read it. It's not that long. We have received the proposed Sterling Opera House Commission ordinance. The ordinance is conceptually flawed. First, the commission, by definition, is a subordinate agency of the city of Derby. It does not have the power to sue or be sued. The Opera House is the property of the city. City should not turn over the control and custody of a city-owned asset. Similarly, the city should not under any circumstances give, quote, total access and rights to said property, quote, to a subordinate commission. Additionally, the city cannot delegate the power to enter into contracts pertaining to the Opera House to the commission. The Derby City Charter has express procedures regarding the formation and execution of contracts on behalf of the city. The mayor, this isn't in the memo, but just so you all know, because we've talked about it, the mayor would sign with the approval of the Board of Aldermen. That's how the charter reads, guys. Finally, a subordinate commission of the city is unable to operate as a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. As we have noted, it does not have a separate legal existence apart from the city. We do not recommend that monies be solicited, raised without the express authority of the city. any monies raised would need to be safeguarded by the city, not the commission. In the final analysis, the proposed ordinance is fundamentally flawed in many respects. At most, an ordinance can create a commission to serve in an advisory role to the city. Many times, cities and towns create, like in Stratford, there's a commission, the Booth Park Commission. It has a, you know, it has a role. It advises, it works with the mayor, it works with the administration, and has a lot of impact on what is done and how it is done. But it doesn't hold money, and it can't contract on behalf of the town, for example. A commission of the city is a subordinate agency of the city. And so that's, there you have it. We can create an advisory commission, but we can't create what you folks are looking for by ordinance. That can't happen. All right.
Do you have an ordinance for us?
No. I didn't know if you'd be interested. If you're interested and you want to serve in that fashion, we can create one.
So my question is, does Sterling House Commission, as it stands, without an ordinance from the city, if we don't have one, so then we're not a commission? Or well,
were you created by that? A vote of the Board of Aldermen?
Yes.
Were you appointed by the Board of Aldermen? By the mayor.
And approved by the board.
And approved by the board. Thank you, Rob. That came before me. So you are a city commission.
Correct.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that was correct.
No, you're a city commission. Now, you may want an ordinance that says that and creates it and lays out a few things. Yes. But
that's what I thought that's what we were.
Well, you, not this, though.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Come on up.
This seems pretty toothless,
and I understand that, you know, with liability and issues as such as that. So from my understanding, according to the Derby Charter, that we have no right to collect money for a public building.
Right.
Okay. So we cannot raise money for the Sterling Opera House.
You can.
I can?
Your commission can, without the approval of the city.
So what was our commission's purpose in the first place if it was not to raise money and for the betterment of the Sterling Opera House? Well, what was the intention of the administration, that board?
Well, first of all, that's not this administration that created it. It was before me, so I won't speak to that. I can't speak to what Mayor Zekin and his...
And the Board of Aldermen?
I can't speak to what they were thinking, but I can tell you that there's a lot of different ways to raise money. And one of them could be to recommend a state grant, a federal grant for theaters, a historic preservation grant. There's a lot of different things you could research and come up with, as opposed to some of the fundraising ideas I heard before. On the other hand, if the city wanted to embark on a fundraising campaign like that, that would have to be done through this board, through the Board of Aldermen, and through the city administration. Not the commission.
We already received $100,000. So from the state.
From the state. You're holding it?
We were applying for we aren't holding it now, but
we have a fiduciary.
It's being held for us.
I think the Valley Community Foundation has that.
Okay. Yes. So we should return that money back to the state?
The state still has it?
No, the center stage.
Center stage.
But if we receive that money null and void, we can return that money, that $100,000, back to the state.
Well, let's see who the grant went to and how.
Okay. So I guess from here on in, I think what we at the Opera House Commission would like to see is something of a little of a guide to figure out, you know, should we just disband now? Because unless we all individually want to raise money, which I'm not in the position.
Just stay right up here because I have questions also. At our meeting, Mark had recommended that we pursue a corporation.
That's a different animal.
And,
that's right.
But how does that work since the city is not The city is not a nonprofit organization, so the city cannot give charitable write-offs. By the way, Dan Blisman, 30 Clark Street Extension. The city can't give write-offs to individuals and people, correct?
Right.
But a charitable organization can.
So let's stop there. What makes this flawed is you do not have a separate legal existence from the city.
How do we do that?
What I'm saying? You are no different than, give me another, what's another commission? Parks and Rec. You're no different than Parks and Rec. You're a subordinate agency of the city.
So how does an independent...
And that's why I said you don't have the capacity to sue or be sued. If somebody wanted to sue the Derby Fire Department, I would move in federal court or a state court that it does not have a separate legal existence, and the judge would grant that. You have to. It would be the city that has the capacity to be sued.
Here's what I'm getting at.
Well, what I'm getting
at is... It's a little bit different of a point from what you're making right now.
Well, no, what I'm saying is Mark actually gave you some good advice, but it wouldn't be the commission. What he was saying is if you create a corporation has a separate legal existence.
How does that corporation become the corporation that's tied to the building? How does if we start a corporation and he starts one and they start one?
I'll give you an idea.
This is what we're trying to form, because I did start.
I'll give you an idea. I can't believe I'm pulling it out of the Booth Park analogy, but I think there's a Friends of Booth Park. You understand what I mean? Look, I haven't looked at this for a long time, but I have a recollection there's a Friends of Booth Park, and it might be a corporation. It's a standalone entity with separate legal existence. It is not owned or controlled by the town.
So as of last month, I formed that with some of the same people.
Yep.
How does that organization become the organization with the authority to raise money for the Sterling Opera House? That's like, for example, Rob Heider, just because I'm looking at you right now, goes and starts the Sterling Opera House Foundation and raises a bunch of money. How does anyone know that that money is going to the Sterling Opera House and not just something clever he named it? Same with us. How does anyone know that that money is actually going because of the name?
No, because
so what is our legal tie to the city and to the building? The
Attorney General's office would have something to say about that,
right?
In terms of enforcing charitable organizations, and that when they raise money and they say they're raising money for veterans, it better go to veterans, right? But,
right. So the point of us being here and being a pain in everyone's behind for months at a time, years even, is we want to know how to move this forward. We think this is a great project. We think this is going to help the city tremendously and help downtown tremendously. And we have the oracle of theater restorations, who is literally throwing money at us in the form of his time. He's done this countless times, and he's painstakingly offered this same offer to every administration since Mayor Steferi. If you don't ask him, if you don't believe me, just wait 20 minutes. He'll tell you the story.
I think I heard it.
Exactly. Day. He knows what to do. He knows the procedures. He knows where to get the money.
And even that, let me tell you, he was speaking from his heart, and because he believes in this and he wants this to go, right?
And he's done it successfully for municipalities.
Let me just throw out one other thing. If this were a city commission and the city were raising money through the commission and he was serving on it, at one point I heard, and he was going to do the fundraising, right? At one point I heard there was no remuneration. And then at another point I heard later, well, after it's up and standing, then I'll take remuneration. Under the ethics code, right, for the city of Derby, we'd have to figure that out.
Right.
Right.
But who? Because there's no commission and there's no organization. We need to start somewhere.
If he's a member of the commission, he can't be remunerated for. He cannot receive remuneration.
That's an easy thing to solve. It's a very easy thing to solve.
Well,
he could at that time have to step down.
But.
Or however that plays out. Yeah.
First of all, my contribution and time is to get the project started. If and when we have to go to a fundraising, we would step aside. You'd have to competitively bid.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the state guidelines, else we couldn't accept state money. We would be one of the bidders. I wouldn't be one of the bidders. I'm retiring. That's why I'm doing this. My daughter, who will run the company, would be one of the bidders. You can hire anybody you want to hire,
right?
Okay? I've been doing this for 39 years. I've raised $1.2 billion. You know how much has been given to a city? Zip. Because contributors won't give to a city. So my concept is, and you already said it, is that we need to form a corporation, because you have to have a corporation before you can form a 501c3.
That's exactly right.
So we formed a corporation. We create the 501c3. We come back to the city and say, here's the corporation. Here's the 501c3. But here's the fly in the ointment. This has got to be a partnership between the city, the Board of Aldermen, the commission members, the citizens. And we have to create a third entity, which will be the fundraising end of it, where there'll be significant community leaders that will step up, just like we did in the Tercentennial in 1975. So all I'm telling you is, you either want this to happen or you don't, because if you don't do it now, it'll never get done. I just finished a project in Shelbyville, Indiana for a community theater. When we did the original prospect, it was $2.5 million to renovate it. 1 year out, it's $5 million. If you look back at the report that was done in 2011 for the Sterling, they said they could restore it for $8 to $9 million. You're looking at $15 to $20 million now. And you're not going to get it from the state. You're going to get some of it from the state. There are federal monies that are already looked into, but a lot of it's going to come from philanthropic individuals and grassroots individuals that want to see Derby succeed and give something of value to the community, just like we did in 1975. In 1971, we came to a meeting just like this, and we said, we want to create a committee to run the Derby Tercentennial Celebration and have a big party in 1975 for thousands of people to celebrate Derby's 300th birthday. And people laughed at us. And people sitting behind that table said, we have no money to give you. It's not going to happen. We formed a committee. We got things going. The city gave us $15,000 eventually. We ran a $255,000 celebration for 10 days. There were over 50,000 people that came through the city of Derby in 10 days, and we gave the city back $125,000 in cash. This project can happen. It can be successful. But if we're not in partnership with the city fathers, the Board of Aldermen, the mayor, and we get the community behind us, it ain't going to happen. Now, I'm willing to donate my services, but I'm 77 years old. This has got to happen before I go away. And we're looking at a 3-year project where we sit right now if we started tomorrow. So I hear what you're saying. I think we need to start the corporation. We need to get the 501c3 in place. And then we got to come back and petition the city, because I got to tell you something. If we don't have access to that theater, we're not going to raise money. And I got a guy that's Denzel Washington's preferred architect. He restored the August Wilson House in Pittsburgh. I'm working with him to do a Boys and Girls Club right now in Mount Vernon, New York, with him and Denzel. He's willing to come for free. He was coming in February. I couldn't bring him. You know why? I can't get into the building. And he's not going to charge us a dime. It's going to be on my dime. I'm paying for him to come out, and I'm paying his expenses. I couldn't get him here because I can't get into the damn building. So we either have to decide that this is going to happen or it's not going to happen. And if it's not going to happen, let me know, and I won't waste my time.
So, Madam Chair.
Let me respond to that. Gina,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think you're looking at a stone wall that you had in the previous administration. We're willing to help you. We received this memo maybe 5 minutes before you did. So I read it, you know, this afternoon or this evening myself for the first time.
I didn't get the memo. Did we get the memo?
No. No. So this is new information to us as well. So we're not against this project. As a matter of fact, Dan, I've spoken to you several times. I'm all for this. I'm 100% for this project. It needs to be done. So we just need to go about it in the right way. So forming the corporation. And Dan has already started that. So that's fantastic news. We're already in the right way. It's going in the right direction.
We get the corporate status, we'll file the 501c3. Then we come back to the city, because at that point, you've got to empower the 501c3 to get into that building that we can raise money.
I'll give you some free advice.
Yeah.
Free advice on your 501c3. Your membership of your 501c3 should be different than the commission.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we already figured that out. Mm-hmm.
So, Madam Chair and members of the board, so I think there might have been a little bit of maybe confusion, misunderstanding, because in previous conversations that we had, maybe we were told, advised, however you see fit, that we needed to be recognized by, number one, the city, number two, the Board of Aldermen, as a quote-unquote official committee. And the reason, or the way to do that, is to have an ordinance, you know, describing the committee, what our actions can or cannot be, and our responsibilities and duties, or however legally it needs to be put in here. So, and then when we kind of gave our recommendations and there was a dialogue, and now from where we're getting the information from you guys, I think is a big difference. So I think there might have been some confusion around. But my question to you is, yes, we were approved by the last Board of Aldermen with members of our committee and commission. And what is the best way so that the committee stays intact, no matter if it's this administration, the next one, or what have you, so that once we get this ball rolling and we seek some guidance from, you know, from you guys, from the administration, that we can, I mean, anything could be done, but so that we can keep going, so that when somebody else comes or the next person, it doesn't fall by the wayside like there's been some problems in the past from one committee to the next. So my question is, should we do or ask the, you know, the board to give us an ordinance to, you know, make us quote unquote official so that we have duties and responsibilities? Or does that not need to be done because we were approved by the Board of Aldermen months, or, you know, I don't know how long it was, but when we were there, what would be your advice?
You're asking me?
Madam Chair, well, to you, or?
I mean, if you're asking me that question, I would say, an ordinance doesn't hurt. An ordinance is a good way to go, but it wouldn't be an ordinance that gives you these powers and authorities. You understand? You don't have the power to contract. You're not going to have unfettered access to the building. You're going to be an advisory commission advising. Exactly. No different, Gino. That's how it would read. And that way it would exist. It's in the city code. It exists unless it's repealed. So if your concern is, you know, in the future, somebody right. kicks you to the curb, they would have to go through that process. Exactly right.
And then the just kind of to curtail off that, if we had at one of our meetings, we were in discussion with people from the administration, and they said that if we needed access to get an architect, an engineer, or what have you, that
you got
to
see the mayor. You see the mayor.
Designate somebody, and then somebody.
Yeah, it could be the mayor. Yeah.
They could get together and gain access to that.
But
that have to be in that type of an ordinance?
No.
Okay.
But remember this, and that's where it comes to, like, the power to contract and to pick. So if you have an architect that you want to work with, you make that recommendation to the city. And the city has to go through a process to approve that.
Okay. It wouldn't be as in the architect going to do the work. It would be like a walkthrough.
A walkthrough. So what you would do on that is you would contact the mayor's office, and the mayor will make, I'm sure, if it's an official, you know, you're an official committee, your commission or whatever it was that the last board approved, would make arrangements to allow for the walkthrough. With it's probably whoever gives you the access, you know, probably the chief of staff.
So I think what we would like, I would recommend to the subcommittee, is to draft an ordinance for us.
I'd be happy.
I believe that this was such an impasse because you heard maybe perhaps the word total, or there was some verbiage that was to not your liking, but I think just to cover what I believe a few people said here today is that we want to work together. So please and thank you for drafting an ordinance. So hopefully we can put together. And according to yourself, you said that the 501c3, we can have that.
So, all right, so let's talk about we. The city is not going to have the 501c3. I'm not going to provide legal advice about your 501c3 because I'm Corporation Counsel representing the city. You're going to, as I understand it, as I understand it, you're going to go through the process to apply to get the 501c3 designation for Friends of Sterling Opera House, or Friends of, you know, whatever you call it. But it's going to be something like that, and you're gonna go through that, and you're gonna have a different board than your committee. Okay, make it easy, because that is a constant problem that comes up when people don't have overlap. If you want to get through the process,
but we won't.
Not on the city side. I'm just giving you free advice that I've heard before and come across.
But as we start to fundraise and acquire money, this is not going to be a wall by the city saying that you cannot, we cannot use that money for a city property, because let's be clear.
Let's say, for example, the Friends of Sterling Opera House raise $100,000, and you want to use that $100,000 for, I don't put new doors on it right now or something like that. You have to approach the city and say, do you want to do this? And the city has to say, yes, city owns the building, right? So you just can't, in theory, you can't force the city to take money. I have found very few cities or municipalities who won't take money that has been raised for a good purpose, right? I mean, I haven't come across that too often. Now, sometimes I've come across it if somebody's diametrically opposed to doing something, but this, who's opposed to the Sterling Opera House restoration? I don't know anybody.
And Rich, can they take that raised money and just give it to the committee, and then let the committee, through their normal channels, figure out how to spend it? And
they can make recommendations, and the city could approve it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, rather than trying to have the charity or the 501, you know, just like we'll raise the money, give it to the subcommittee. Subcommittee then takes it and does whatever they normally do with it.
I don't think that's how they want to go about it.
You're going to hate what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Okay, but we've done this all over the United States. So you create the corporation. The corporation then gets the 501c3. That gives that the fiduciary right to give tax deductions for monies received for the project. Okay. But the city owns the building.
Right.
So what has to happen at some point is the city either has to lease us the building or sell it to us for a dollar. With a reverter clause, and I just did this in North Carolina with a huge armory and a baseball stadium. The reverter clause simply says if we ever fail to operate it as a theater, it automatically reverts back with all its improvements to the city of Derby. We're light years away from there.
Yeah, I would recommend crossing all those bridges.
But what I'm saying to you is that's the appropriate way to do it, so that when the money comes into the 501c3, And I've already talked that we don't want to be.
Have you ever heard of the Shakespeare Theater in Stratford,
yeah,
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Right. The state.
That's right.
The state tried to do that.
Yeah.
And they failed.
Yeah.
And the property reverted. And then the property was deeded to the town.
Somebody burnt it down.
And then somebody burnt it down.
That's well, right. I just want you to know.
What's that?
We've taken the DMV.
The DMV?
Yeah.
We've taken
another example of the state running something.
We think it is very serious.
No. The state actually did the model he's talking about. The state owned the property. The property had, long story, but City Trust had a mortgage on it, a bank that very few of us remember. The City Trust had a mortgage on it. And in about 1984, after the primary benefactor of that theater passed away and people wouldn't give money to it anymore, the bank foreclosed on it. When the bank foreclosed on it, the bank sold the property to the state of Connecticut to get its mortgage debt paid, and the state took title. And then Governor Weicker was the governor.
Right.
And first Governor Weicker tried to put in a group of folks from Down County and to basically operate the theater, I think originally on a lease type thing. Didn't work. And then they went forward and conveyed it to a group run by a fellow named Louis Burke. I'll leave that alone for a minute. A fellow named Louis Burke to run the theater with a reverter, if I'm remembering this correctly, and I think I am. Burke failed. When they failed, the property reverted to the state, and the state then said, "We're out of it. This is, we've tried to give this away three times."
Did you really?
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is that's actually the model that this gentleman is talking about down the road. But that's way down the road.
We're light years away.
You're so far from that. This is like you're in the top of the first inning, guys, of a 9-inning game. So, and
but if we don't speed up the game, we're not going to be able to afford to do it at all.
So I guess our point is, I kind of feel that here we are in April, and we've been waiting now a few months. You know, things happen, and now we have the new board here.
And we've been waiting for this ordinance to, quote unquote, give us, you know, the proper title or a permanent title. So I think that's what I'm trying to say. I understand that. And I was already, and that's what we discussed. I said, really, the only ordinance that we needed was to give us our duties and responsibilities. That's all we really needed. But then there was discussion and no, we need this and we need that. So I think there was some miscommunication along the way. Meanwhile, we have $100,000 that this Board of Aldermen, which I was a part of, voted on and passed and approved that Center Stage was our fiduciary to hold, to park that $100,000 that was granted to, it was part of the last budget from the state of Connecticut. Representative Mary Wielander was a big part of that. So we have $100,000 there that we want to use for, you know, to put an update on that big plan that we have for the Opera House. There are some new details that need to be worked in so that we could start this ball rolling. We have an architect that we want to get in there to give us some updates on what where we are, where the building stands. But we've been at a standstill because we were under the assumption or told, however it went, that we needed this to do anything else.
This.
The ordinance, yeah. Correct. So really, I don't know, maybe we lost some, we lost our way a little bit, but we don't need that. The only thing that we need is just to give us long-term committee.
It wouldn't, you know, hurt. It would not hurt to have an ordinance.
Right. But we could keep moving forward to what we're doing and just speak to the mayor's office and say, Mr. Mayor, we're going to be in there on Tuesday. Can you have somebody come with us so the architect could get in? And that would be fine. We don't need that to move forward at all. We could still.
You have to work through the city. That's what's different than this. That's
100%. Yeah, understood. Okay. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page with that. And if we want to use that $100,000.
I'm not aware of any of that.
I understand.
That preceded me, Rob. So, so whatever that grant was that the state representative got for planning purposes, it can only be, I don't know who the grant went.
So
who the recipient of the grant recipient is.
Right. So what I'm asking is I understand all those details.
Yeah.
As long as we go through the city, we have access to that money.
Maybe.
The city would then have to okay an invoice from whatever decision,
President Wielander said it was for planning specifically for the Sterling Opera House.
I get that.
It came from an arts grant.
Okay. So we're getting there. So I need to get the details of the grant so I can find out if the ultimate recipient is the city. Who is the recipient? If the city is the recipient, then the money goes to the city and the finance director will dole it back out. That's what he was just talking about. But I don't know.
Here's the caveat on that. In order to get the grant, it had to only be given to an operating theater company, not the city.
That's interesting.
And the operating theater company that was in good standing was the Center Stage Theater. So, and a cooperative agreement between the Valley Community Foundation and the Center Stage Theater, that money was deposited with the Center Stage Theater. It only can be used for planning purposes for the renovation and restoration of the Sterling Opera House.
And that's why the Board of Aldermen, we had them be our fiduciary so that the Board of Aldermen passed that so the Sterling Opera House Commission can access that money and pay a vendor or whatever seems fit.
We'll just try to get the grant documents.
Okay.
Just so I can
see. So we're good to go and keep moving forward. Yeah. We just need to call the mayor's office and schedule our time.
I can't do this ordinance.
Okay.
And you're going to come up.
And you're going to give
it. I'm going to give you an ordinance. But, you know, it's it's not going to look like this.
We're not asking for the world. We're trying to save you time by putting something in front of you. Sorry, it was so wrong.
Yeah.
No apologies necessary. And I was asked at the last meeting to look at it. I looked at it. I did a memo. We'll, you know.
Listen, I have one last thing to say. I don't even live in Derby anymore. I was born and raised here. Derby's in my heart. My father was in politics for a million years with Henry Healy and George Bayer.
Healy.
And Bailey and the good old days of the Democratic politics. I love the city of Derby. That's the only reason I decided to donate my services. Okay, I'm signing a contract. I'm not signing it. My daughter's signing it. I'm turning the company over to my daughter because when I finish, the only reason I'm doing this last project is because Denzel Washington asked me to do it as a favor. So when I finish this, which, by the way, started out at a $20 million project 2 years ago and just came in at $40 million on the bidding. So we got a big problem there. But the point is, I think we want this to happen for the betterment of the city to serve as an anchor for the whole redevelopment project. You know, if you listen to my report that I gave at the original meeting, you know, I can see the biggest area for redevelopment is that riverfront and make it a destination port like Port Jefferson or Savannah, Georgia, and use that as the southern anchor, and you use the Sterling Opera House as the anchor at the end of Elizabeth Street, and we put a professional band shell in the Derby Green, backing up to the plaza on the green. We can make Derby a destination port or a destination for people to come and spend their money. We know that if you restore a historic theater, and this came from the National Preservation of Historic Theater Commission, the minute you open that theater and you sell a ticket, you get a $2.50 to $3 return on investment to the entire city. People come and spend money at restaurants, they buy drinks, they pay for parking. If we had shopping, they would do shopping. But the point is this is not just a fly-by-night. We want to restore a theater because it's a nice thing to do. Back in 75, we had three chairs restored from the theater. We don't know where they are. They were gorgeous. But we decided we'd do that just to show people what could be, okay? So, and you know, to make a final point, is it's just not a matter of restoring the Sterling Opera House. We have to bring it up to code. And we have to bring it up to so that it can be a performing theater, which means we need a fly system. We need amplification, even though it's got perfect acoustics. We need lighting. That's going to be a major project. I think it can happen. I've done it hundreds of times. I'm hoping we can do it here in Derby. That's all I'm saying.
Keep talking for a little while longer. Mayor DiMartino. So I want on record that I am for this project. I am backing this project. I'm for it. I was there for the first meeting that your committee's ever had. Unfortunately, I haven't been to many. I've been to a few, but I haven't been to many. But my time is a little changed since I've gotten into office. But I back this. I'm for it. When you need to get into the building, please let me know. We will get somebody in there to help you with that. I mean, don't call me at one saying you got to be in at three, because that wouldn't work for me. But just give me some head, you know, a little time, you know, when you set it up. Everything's got to just be done the right way. That's all I'm asking for.
Is it possible you could appoint a city employee that would be like our key holder for that building, so instead of having to necessarily go through you or Linda directly, we would have someone else that works for the city, or Linda, or someone that has, you know, is an employee of the city and has access to that building that could be our contact to gain access instead of having to shorten the channel.
We'll ask him right there. He's
well, that's within your purview, Mr. Mayor, if you appoint somebody, but I would imagine the mayor's office is always staffed, and the chief of staff, Linda Fusco, is very attentive. And if you want to delegate someone else on a given day, that could work too.
Oh, yeah, but so let's
we're a small priority on a day that you have a lot of stuff going on. Right. Whereas if you have somebody who has less priorities on their schedule, we're a bigger priority on their schedule.
But
I hope that you would schedule your visits out in a little more advanced than
So
it can't be the last minute.
We'll leave it with my staff right now. If it's not working out,
be helpful.
If it's not working out because of our meetings and schedule and stuff, then we'll sit down together and we'll talk about it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Mark?
Sure. Madam Chair, I would just ask for you to ask Corporation Council to review the previous approvals. Or the previous actions, let's put it that way, because in fairness, the committee was not treated respectfully by the previous administration. And not even the committee, but the effort to do this and so forth. So it has that be done so that you can incorporate in whatever ordinance, and it could be just codified in a way that allows it to continue. And as somebody who was responsible for getting the first $1.2 million for the building, support it and have been to their meetings. So happy to help in any way that personally and in our office that we can do that.
I remember somebody singing from that stage.
That's for sure.
If I may, Mr. Town Clerk, as Corporation Counsel, I would ask you to be kind enough to pull copies of those approvals for me. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from any? Mark?
Mark Anthony, ISO 328 Lavery Street. Just want to say, guys did a great job today. As for a last minute thing to get into the Opera House, I can tell you from experience, I used to be part of Save Our Sterling Group, and there have been times when members of the state needed to get there in a hurry. So always have a plan B ready to get in there, because when they want to get in, they want to get in. I've actually given tours back then in those days when people like the state or somebody else needed to get there in a hurry. That's all. I just want to throw that out there and always have that plan B. I may be even available if you ever need to get in there in a hurry, just to let you know. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. As we leave this item, Attorney Petrella is going to work to create an ordinance and review the previous agreements and minutes from meetings so that we all understand what has been agreed to. Okay. Is there any other discussion on that one? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Rob, second by Jessica. Any discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This meeting is adjourned at 6:49. Thank you.